world. When the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on earth? Will our world recognize Jesus as the Lamb of God? You see, today's gospel passage is focused on revelatory nature. He wants to reveal who Jesus is. And the phraseology of the Lamb of God, scripture scholars kind of point to three different scenarios. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14, the Lamb is depicted as a triumphant victor. At the time of Passover, the blood of the Lamb was sprinkled over the doorpost so the angel of death would pass over that particular household. In Jewish tradition, there was an animal sacrifice in atonement for sin. All three of these scenarios point us to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist goes on at the very end of this particular reading and says, "I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." And what does that mean for us in today's world? It doesn't take long to look at the events of the world happening around us and see an absence of God. But even among the Catholic faith, I looked up the statistics from 2018, so prior to the pandemic. Here in America, only 28% of Catholics were attending Mass on a regular basis. In Europe, it's even worse. I've read an article about a month ago, Belgium is down to about 2.5%. Statistics reveal time and time again that only a third of the Catholics believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So that would make sense then that the same close proximity number of people attend Mass, because if you don't believe the core tenet of our faith of Jesus present in the Eucharist, why would you come? Why are we here? I've been ordained a deacon over 23 years, and I've talked to a lot of fallen away Catholics. And depending upon the relationship that I have with them, I ask them questions. I always invite them home, but sometimes I lay out a challenge for them as well. And there are many reasons why people leave the faith. But there have been two responses that have just baffled me. I had a friend of mine one time told me he left the church because he found a denomination where he really encountered Christ. I said, "You didn't encounter Christ at the Catholic Church?" "No." I said, "Can I ask you a few questions?" He said, "Sure." I said, "When you went to church, were there other people there?" He said, "Well, of course there were." I said, "Out of all the other people there, you never once encountered Christ in anybody?" "Well, that's different. Do we encounter Christ in one another?" I said, "When you went to Mass, did you hear the scripture readings proclaimed? Did you hear a homily, whether it was good or not so good, expound upon those scriptures?" He said, "Well, of course." I said, "You never encountered Christ in the breaking open of the Word?" He just kind of looked at me. I said, "Well, one last part. It's when you went to Mass, did the priest pray the Eucharistic prayer?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Were you given an opportunity to go to communion?" "Yeah." I said, "So you received our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity in communion, and yet you did not encounter Christ?" But my dear people, we can go through the motions for a long time and not encounter Christ. Another friend of mine said, "I left because I wanted to go to a more scripture-based church." I said, "Hello. You do realize the Catholic Church is the one who gave the world the canon of Scripture, right?" We have a 3-year cycle, and I know I've covered this in a previous homily. But year A, B, and C, we hear from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does not have a year of his own. He's interspersed into the other 3 years. Today was one of those days where John was interspersed. But if you come to Mass every week for 3 years, you hear the Gospels thoroughly, and you hear a whole lot of the other parts of sacred Scripture. We know Scripture. And there is also a lot of Scripture in the regular prayers of the Mass. But I think sometimes ritual can be powerful, but ritual can also lull us into complacency. You see, we come to Mass week after week and we do the same things. We know what to expect. It's filled with the sacred Scriptures. But if we're not paying attention closely enough, it's easy to miss. It's like today's second reading from St. Paul. It was basically an introduction to one of his letters. You know, when St. Paul is writing to the faith communities, there was usually an introduction. And I don't know, maybe you've seen the meme that's been going around on social media. It's a guy doing a presentation. He has a PowerPoint slide up. The general outline of St. Paul's letter. Grace to you. Stay faithful to what we've taught you. For the love of everything holy, stop being stupid. Timothy says hi. But that first part, grace to you. When we are out in the narthex or we're out in the community and we see each other, we say good morning, what's up, hey, how's it going, whatever the greeting is. Very casual. Do you notice the difference when we're in this sacred space? Today's reading from St. Paul, in which we heard that greeting, it's how we start the Mass. And the priest has a number of different options. But what's more impactful? Good morning, what's up? Or the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion, the fellowship, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you. Is that different than good morning? I would certainly hope so, and it's right out of sacred Scripture. We then move into the penitential rite, and there are numerous places in sacred Scripture where we hear about mercy. But when I was thinking about this, two jumped into my mind immediately. The blind guy who the crowd was trying to keep silent, and yet he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. He wanted God's mercy. He wanted to see. Do we yearn for God's mercy with that kind of intensity? Or the other one, the publican sitting in the back of the temple would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but he just said, have mercy on me, a sinner. Right out of Scripture, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. We just celebrated the great feast of Christmas. You can almost hear the choirs of angels singing, glory to God in the highest. Right out of Scripture. We then have the Scripture readings proclaimed. We then profess the creed. The 12 articles of faith in the creed are scattered throughout sacred Scripture. That's what we believe. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, straight out of Scripture. The Eucharistic prayer, especially the part of consecration, straight from the Last Supper narrative. And not only are we saying the words of sacred Scripture, but we are following the mandate of Jesus, do this in memory of me. My dear people, we didn't make this stuff up last week. This has been from the beginning. If you have a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church at home, or if you don't, pull it up online, pull up paragraph 1345, 1345. In that paragraph is a letter from St. Justin the Martyr from around the year 155 AD. He describes the Eucharistic liturgy. If you did not know it was written in the 100s, you would think it was written today. we have followed the mandate of Jesus to do this in memory of me. Then we get to the Lamb of God, and it echoes the words of John the Baptist that we just heard today. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us and grant us peace. Scriptural. And finally, Father will get to that point where he elevates the host and the chalice, and he will invite us to the table of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Do you consider yourself blessed when you get in line to come to Holy Communion because you know you're going to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? My dear people, it cannot be routine. It cannot be monotonous. It is the King of Kings. Our world urgently needs us to understand that and to live that. There is a practical component to all of this. Put it into the context of a three-legged stool of prayer, study, and action. How we pray here when we are gathered together as a community of believers impacts the way we pray in our personal prayer life. If we are going through the motions here, will we go through the motions at home when we're praying? If we are failing to encounter the living God here through this awesome sacrament, if we have lost the wonder and awe of what we do here as a community of believers, how is our personal prayer life going to be filled with vigor? Are we praying frequently, fervently, and faithfully? Because we need to be fully equipped to go out into this world that's enveloped in darkness. The world needs our faithful witness. I would ask you to study the faith. Please pull up at least that one paragraph today, 1345. Learn about your faith. Years ago, I had a conversation with a friend of mine. He was just about my age, and I asked him, I said, what do you do to study the faith? He said, outside of the homily, that's about what I get. He said, I went to 8 years of Catholic school. So I said, and I had a good enough relationship with him, I could say this. So I said, what you're telling me is you have an eighth grade understanding of your faith. He kind of looked at me and he said, probably right. I'm not asking you to study the faith so that you become an academic scholar. I'm asking you to study your faith so you can become holy. Because knowing about the Lord can lead us to knowing the Lord. It's important for us to know what we believe, why we believe it, to grow in union with Almighty God. And finally, we need to put our faith into action. We cannot just be hearers of the word. We must be doers of the word. We're called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're called to be on mission. We have a purpose. And when I say that, sometimes people tell me I don't feel equipped to go out and do a whole lot. You are equipped. Why? Because you're not doing it alone. God walks with you, and all things are possible with God. So today, as we continue on with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, when Father elevates the host and the chalice and says, behold the Lamb of God, allow the grace of God to move within you. Recognize Jesus, the Son of God. And when I send you forth at the end of Mass to go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life, know that you are fully equipped to do that. Because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion, the fellowship, and the power of the Holy Spirit is with you.